afternoon. Today is Friday, July the 11th, 197th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods.
Good afternoon.
You got both your hands and there's no singed fingertips.
They're all here.
Good job.
Made it through the fourth.
Good. Yeah, we'll recap that a little bit. Also, we'll talk, well, I don't know. We'll catch up on the normal activities. I've heard a couple weird things in the news, so we'll I'll drop in a couple of bombs on you.
Great.
And then we'll get an update, a little clarification about what the county did earlier this week regarding their premium surtax
sales tax thing.
Right.
So,
Yeah. Boy,
talk about
did
that.
You hear the happy voice there? Well, he's tickled, and we'll see if we can tickle you when we come back.
From your trip to Latin America, you are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Mary Roberts Reinhardt, 1925. Quote, "It's only in his head that a man is heroic. In the pit of his stomach, he's always a coward." Ain't that the truth, huh?
Very true. Yeah,
how do you get your not necessarily your new recruits, because I figure that they're all pumped with adrenaline.
Right.
Yeah, and they're too stupid to know what's dangerous or not. They just kind of go...
Peer pressure.
Charging, yeah.
Peer pressure, yeah.
Yeah. Lemming theory is kind of what I was thinking, but okay, peer pressure. But the guy who's, or gal, I guess, in some departments, who's been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
And now you have all the experience, you know all the stuff that's going on.
Right.
Maybe you're not out there on the front line all the time, but now, for circumstances, now you're in the charge.
Situation.
Yeah. How do you... Can you work through that one? Is there something that's there, or is the adrenaline still overcome that?
No, the adrenaline is big, but I think you really rely on the wisdom of experience and knowing your limitations then, because you've been through those types of events and you've built experience and somehow survived them in the past, and you've learned in certain situations how far you can go up to that line, that limit, and how far you shouldn't. So it's that wisdom which comes with the experience and knowing, yeah, I can do this, but I know if I take this extra step, that's going too far. And the young guys, they don't know that yet. So it's trying to teach them that situational awareness, that big picture, all those things of being aware to the extent that they don't go too far and they don't put themselves in a situation that's, you know, not only going to be hazardous to them, but the people we're trying to help as well.
And recognize there is an edge.
Exactly, and there always is, yeah.
How about you? I'm sure there have been, let's say, in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
After you've not been, you know, the young stud on the block kind of thing.
Yeah, 10 years, thanks.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I'm looking for an answer here, not an argument, man.
Right.
So I'm sure there have been some situations where you just, okay.
Yeah.
How do you check off on that and do what you need to do?
It's that experience and knowing from past experiences how far to go and your limitations. And, yeah, there's been plenty of opportunities presented over 10 years where I could have got myself in a lot of personal trouble. But that's part of the fire service, is being a team and relying on each other and then knowing what your crew capabilities are, your equipment, just what your turnouts, the clothing we wear will protect you from, those types of things that you know, we have a situation, a building potential collapse, we have people inside, you know, one more minute, can we search, can we potentially find somebody, but you know, it's not worth it because that roof's coming in any second and to pull everybody out of there. And hopefully, you know, I can keep that experience level and then transfer that into the wisdom to make those good decisions when they need to be made. And it's, you know, every day you have that challenge of doing that, and every call is different. And it's something that I think about, I know our guys think about, but that's where the training comes in, that's where the experience. You put all those components together, the equipment, everything, and we've been successful so far of making good decisions and being able to help people, and that's ultimately what we try to do.
The situation earlier this week in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Right.
Now, I don't know Lowell from any other small little town in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I would imagine it was rather sobering for you and the staff to hear what went through. Was it three stories or something? I mean, it wasn't a tall building. We got a lot of not tall buildings around here.
Right.
And all the deaths were on the top floor.
Yeah, that one, and particularly this week too, the fire in Philadelphia with the row houses where the number of people were killed there, very sobering. And it could absolutely happen in our community. Fires grow so quickly, and unless they're detected quickly, you know, particularly in our neighborhood, in our part of the country here in Eureka, with the older construction, balloon frame construction, the old redwood, and the potential for fire spread is huge. So it's very sobering. We hope and pray it never happens in our community. We try to be trained and prepared. Some things are out of our hands where, you know, where those firefighters back there, they did the best they could, and they still couldn't make a difference.
Yeah, sometimes the best isn't good enough.
It's not good enough. It isn't. And no matter your response times, no matter how much you put into it, it's not enough to make a difference. And
so, you know, when you hear about some of those things going on throughout the country, are those gut checks? Are those, I mean, you can't really train to something you can't do.
Yeah, they're gut checks, and you try to find out what you can about the situation, whether it was a particular type of construction that was involved, whether it was something they did in their response, what did the firefighters go through, what were the steps they took to try to attack that fire, where did they attack it, where was the fire, why did it spread, you look at the construction.
And all that stuff is kind of shared with the fire chiefs?
Absolutely, and the fire service is very good about putting that information out to each other, sharing it, and getting the message out so we can try to eliminate that the next time around.
So you don't have to wait till the annual convention or something and have those guys present and say, here's what played.
The social media, the internet, those types of incidents are on there the next day, and you're reading about them right away, some of the things, and as more and more facts come in, then you're trying to put those into the card file, the memory bank of the things that happen and how you can help avoid them.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, I guess the lesson out of Philly and Lowell was be prepared. Okay. Right. Have the infrastructure, the smoke detectors and things like that in place. Do you run into a lot of situations here? It seems like every year, right around November. And if you've stacked things on your floor heater, be sure to get them off before, because it's always right. Yeah, I mean, we could probably sit here and knock out the next 10 years worth of shows for that month right now. Do people not get it, or because it hasn't happened to them or a buddy of theirs, it just kind of shoots over their head?
I think that's really the key, is it hasn't happened to them, so they take the view that it's not going to happen to them. So we have a number of cases where we go into residents or apartments where the smoke detector has been disabled. We had a situation this morning where we had a reported structure fire. Arrived on scene, fortunately there was some burning clothing that had been thrown outside and extinguished by the occupants, but middle of the night, smoke detector goes off. An individual sleeping very near the fire was awoken, smelled smoke. Another individual comes from back bedroom, hears the smoke detector, pulls the battery out, and throws the smoke detector out the door, goes back to bed. You know, this very well could have turned into a three-fatality fire for us this morning. Fortunately, the individual in the room where the fire was continued to smell smoke and eventually alerted the rest that there is a fire here, and they were able to get out and extinguish the fire themselves. But, you know, one of those situations where it's very clear that, for us, we see it all the time. Smoke detectors save lives. And I think you're
And they're
right.
Not a good Frisbee, are they?
They are not a good Frisbee at all. No. And now with new ones that are sealed for 10 years, you don't want to be throwing those things out. They're good for 10 years. But the point is that they are there for a reason, and to recognize why they're there. When that goes off, there's a reason it's going off. And you need to pay attention to that. Don't go back to bed. Don't think everything's fine, and don't assume that a smoke detector is malfunctioning. And you need to check out what's going on and verify that there's no fire, that there's no smoke. It's there to save you. It's not there for anything else.
Kind of walk around the house,
exactly,
so to speak.
Exactly. Right.
Now, if it was a carbon monoxide,
mm-hmm,
okay, odorless.
Right.
How do you recommend people deal with that one? Let's say instead of a smoke detector, it was carbon monoxide detector going off.
And you know, we get lots of calls, service calls for those that carbon monoxide detector is sounding in a residence. We go out, we have a gas monitor that we will check the levels for you and verify that there is no hazard. Sometimes those are a little more sensitive. They can be set off, particularly if your car is in the garage and it's running and you happen to leave the door open so those fumes can get in your house, set them off, a number of things like that. But we can do that. We want to come out and help people with those. Again, they're going off for some reason. If it's a hazard, we don't want to show up later on for a medical call with unconscious individuals or for a smoke detector sounding in a room on fire and have to make a rescue of people. So that's what we're there for.
So if a carbon monoxide goes off, mm-hmm, my understanding is open windows.
Exactly.
Open the windows, flush it through. You don't necessarily have to call 911. You might want to.
You might want to call us. You know,
take care of it first, because that's the way to dissipate it.
Right. You want to leave the residence. You open the windows, exactly, get some natural ventilation going in there. But again, it's gone off for a reason. We can come out. We can check the levels. We can try to identify what the problem is. Maybe it is something where, you know, a door's been left open and there's been a vehicle running, and then we can ask some questions and nail that down. Maybe it's a problem with your water heater, though, that you need to take care of, you know, and if we can identify that and potentially save a life, then that, you know, $15 item has done its job, and what a huge investment.
Is that a 911 call?
It can be a 911 call to our dispatch. They're not going to send us with lights and siren to the scene. We're going to take it as a service call unless there is a definite medical emergency that, you know, you're relaying to our dispatch. But otherwise, we're going to come out and we're going to check it out and go from there.
See me in the morning kind of thing? We're just going to keep all the windows open?
Yeah, we like you to, you know, go outside till we get there. We're going to be there within a few minutes.
Of course,
minutes.
I'm thinking it's going to happen at 2 in the morning, because that seems like that's when
sometimes.
It's going to happen. It's going to be at that time, or you're out of town. Take your pick. Yeah,
could be. Yeah, we get them all day long. Right.
Okay, so time of the day isn't a concern for you guys.
It's not. We're always there.
Yeah. Whether you want us or not.
Right.
Yeah. but, you know, I never heard of somebody just getting mad at the smoke detector and throwing it out.
That level
of creativity is one that's a little mind-numbing.
It's disturbing to us, yeah. Because, again, the potential is we could have had three deceased individuals from that fire very easily, again, with the rate fire spreads.
Are there other detectors you can have other than the smoke, the CO2 and the carbon monoxide? Is there another one that
it's the smoke detector, and
those
now
are the
they're
two
combined with the new technology, but those are the two, the smoke detector, the CO2, and those are the ones that, you know, have lots of years of proven history in saving lives.
What about a gas leak?
I
know they're flavored, so to speak.
Yeah, it has an odor to them as well, and you know, we normally with those people smell gas. And again, call us. We call PG&E, and we go from there and try to find out what the problem is.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're at the Talk Shop this afternoon with Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods. Ken, what was the 4th of July like? I don't know if you guys were within earshot of some of the extra.
Yeah, we were.
But it seemed
we were very much in the earshot. Went a little long, went a little high. Yeah.
I didn't hear any sirens.
We were busy. We had one of our most busiest response days, particularly in the medical realm, a number of medical calls, a wide range from falls, people downtown in the Old Town area, to just, you know, the normal calls we respond on. We had a structure fire off of Wabash area, but the fireworks, I was surprised at the level of fireworks, not the official ones, but the unofficial shows that were going off all around town. It seemed noticeably higher to me this year than the previous year.
More of them or more of the bigger ones?
And bigger ones, both. Combination of
that's
both.
That's what I, you know where we are and the advantage we have over the high school field and then the trees above. We saw a couple go up. They cleared the canopy very nicely and had the percussion that the big boys did. So I would imagine those are the ones that get you guys curl your hair a little bit and trying to figure out what's going on. Cause
those and the bottle rockets that shoot up and go every direction, you know, and come down on people's roofs. But there seemed to be larger ones this year. As I said, we were at a structure fire on Wabash, and you know, you would have thought somebody was shooting a gun near us. It was just constant as we were fighting this fire. But
now there was an arrest or a bust or whatever it was in Lolita with some guys selling some of the foreign made.
Right.
Do you think there was a connection between those?
I don't know. I think, you know, that just the sheer number that are out there, there's a number of sources probably where people can acquire these and get these. And
well, the Oregon, Washington, Nevada thing, but those aren't going to be those big percussion things.
These aren't the big ones. These are the illegal ones that come in from China and Mexico, those types of things that are not sold in stands on the street that are not legal, and I believe Cal Fire was involved in that Lolita incident down there and seizing some of that. But again, it just seemed like there was more and larger fireworks going off this year than the previous year, and it's a real concern for us because we did have a couple little minor vegetation fires from fireworks that we responded on earlier in the day, and as there's more fireworks, you know, the propensity and chance for having problems and those leading to bigger fires are just increase. And we're always on our guard, particularly around the 4th.
It's funny. You're thinking fire suppression. I'm thinking medical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those big boys, let's say it tips just as it's starting to engage.
Right.
And now it's zooming down the middle of the street, coming at someone, something.
Absolutely.
Those are the things I look, you know.
Can do some real damage.
Yeah, do a head-on with a car that's got some petroleum in it. Let's see what magic happens. That type of thing is how I always play the ugly.
Yeah, those things going off in a crowd of people going, you know, getting shot into a group that goes errant somewhere, and then you've got a number of casualties, a number of different types of injuries. Yeah, the potential is huge there. And, you know, fortunately, we didn't have those type this year, but as people use more and more of those larger legal type fireworks, we're going to see those types of injuries.
Are they physically large, or are they packed with more stuff?
There are ones you can hold in your hand that have a heck of a punch to them, and then you do see some of the physically bigger, you know, spheres and balls and mortars and those types of things. They are big.
Comes with the wheels.
Yeah, just about.
own special trailer.
Right.
Was there a lot of action out in the Cutton area, out in the more rural settings,
yeah,
or is this
much,
more downtown?
More downtown, not as much Cutton, Humboldt Hill, south of town, no. But in town itself, yeah, that's where the real volume of what we heard and saw was.
And Pine Hill escaped clear.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well.
Dream on.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not quite.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:40. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, the county earlier this week decided to put on the ballot a 0.5% sales tax augmentation, whatever the word will be.
Right.
My understanding is, and that it's across, it's from border to border, mm-hmm. water to border.
Yeah,
I mean, it's across
county, everything.
Because it's in the jurisdictions of the cities and the municipalities and your special district and things like that, has there been any and the primary lead on this thing is roads and public safety.
Right.
I mean, understandable enough.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion, and I don't know if it could be formal or not, if that kicks it up to a higher number that would have to vote in favor of it for it to pass, but has there been any formal or informal discussion with you, with the police chiefs, anybody talking about the application? If this passes, here's how it's going to be allocated?
Yeah. And I can speak on behalf of the Fireside, and being now the president of the Humboldt County Fire Chiefs Association, I can tell you.
You missed a meeting, didn't you?
Yeah, you're exactly right. But I can tell you there has been no discussion with fire, and this is being sold as public safety. And in fact, the county did a poll, asked a number of questions trying to gauge support for this. 84% of the people sampled said that they are in favor of supporting fire. But yet there's been no discussion with the 38 fire departments in the county. There's been talk, obviously, from the sheriff and supporting law enforcement, and we want to stand with our public safety brothers there. We think, you know, fire and police are essential public safety services, but we are very concerned, and speaking on behalf of the fire chiefs, that we are going to be cut out of this, that we won't see anything. And the public recognizes fire departments as being part of public safety. But again, we're very concerned. There's been no discussion with us. It's all been regarding law enforcement. We have about 35 complete volunteer fire departments in this county, and they are struggling. They struggle every day to have the equipment, basic, outdated equipment to respond on calls. They respond, though. When the call comes in, you know, they drop what they're doing, they leave their business, they leave their home, they respond out for no compensation, and do it to serve the community. And we're very concerned that the county doesn't recognize that the county should pay attention, that we provide a vital service too. And the law enforcement issues that are occurring out there, whether it's drugs, whether it's homeless encampments, whether it's the environmental issues from that, you know, it's not just the police and the sheriff that respond to those. We are the same ones responding with them. The medical calls, the types of problems that come from the drug issues, from the environmental, from those homeless encampments when they're on fire. The fire service plays a big role there, too, and we'd like to see support from it.
For some of the smaller departments,
mm-hmm.
really? You're the president of the chiefs?
Yep.
Okay. For the little guys.
Yeah.
Say if they got $2,000 a year mm-hmm. from this. Is that enough to do anything for the small volunteer departments?
It's $2,000 more than they didn't have. So, for instance, a set of turnouts, protective clothing that we wear, you know, that's $2,000. That buys one set of turnouts. So if you have, you know, 10 people on your department, that's 10% of the people now you can outfit and put in protective clothing that's going to not only protect them in a fire, but allow them to go in and help you. So is it very much money in the grand scheme of things? No, but any little bit that these departments can take in is a huge plus for them. And that's why they're having bake sales and car washes and, you know, doing those types of things on a regular basis to try to just maintain, put fuel in the vehicles and keep it going so they can respond.
I don't think we're going to have car washes now that the state's in a drought, right?
Yeah, that cuts that out. Exactly. That cuts out.
And you guys are too. You guys can only run half as much water out.
That's
now?
That's true. We're only carrying half it. Not really.
You got those little sprinkler heads on the end that kind of spread it out. Yeah.
Flow meters.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. obviously, with them just passing this thing or putting it on the ballot on Tuesday,
right?
It may be a little preliminary, and you know, you may have a note on your, you might have a note on your desk when you get back saying call the county.
I'd be shocked if I did, frankly. The fire service gets a lot of verbal appreciation out there, but when it comes to the tangible dollars in this county are not there. And again, we want to support law enforcement, but we believe we're a part of public safety as well, and we believe we should have some of that support.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Certainly, there will be discussions, and it's not like it's next week.
We got
a couple months here.
No,
when things
and
will...
that coupled with the one in the city for Measure Q, and you know that involves public safety in the citywide. Obviously, our fire department gets more money in that case, but not in the county.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.